Strategic Christian Services, in association with Dominion Enterprises, is pleased to present Let's Talk, Communication Skills for People Who Want Healthy Relationships, with Dennis Peacock. This is Lesson 1, entitled The Nature of Communication and Intimacy and 5 General Rules for Life-Giving Relationships.
Hi, I'm Dennis Peacock, and I've been in communication for over 30 years. And we're here to share with you some of the truths that we've learned over the years. I want to be addressing people in terms of family relationships, husband-wife relationships, business relationships, anything that has anything to do with communication, which, by the way, is everything we do in life. And we're going to be sharing here with a number of different people in this series, and I want to guarantee you, based on my experience and many others that have shared these truths, that if you will practice the things we're talking about here in Let's Talk, it's going to change your life because it's going to revolutionize your relationships. Join us now as we begin this series, Let's Talk. Well, what a treat to be able to share the things that we're going to be talking about here in this series, things that have changed my life, changed my relationship with my dear wife, Jan here, who all of you know, we've been together 35 years. And a lot of the things that I'm going to be sharing with you are things that have really revolutionized our relationship, let alone changed my relationship with the people I work with. I think all of you are aware that I'm not only a public teacher and make a living communicating in the public sense, but Jan and I have done marriage counseling for 30 years or more. I do consulting with businesses and government officials. So my life is involved, as is yours, in different ways in communication and communication skills. And part of the tragedy of where we are at this point in time is we've not really had a lot of people that were experts at communication really share with us laws or principles on how to communicate effectively and how to communicate even internally. We're going to be talking about the difference between our internal conversation and our external conversation and how that all plays out in terms of our ability to relate and communicate with other people. But in this first session, so to speak, we're going to be talking about the nature of communication and intimacy, and we're going to be talking about 5 general rules that we need to use in terms of communication in order to be effective. And I want to begin by, first of all, talking about the distinctive between communication and coercion, which may sound like a strange thing to begin with, but all of us have a will, we all have desires, we have programs, we have agendas, so to speak, and when we get into communication with somebody else, what we're really sharing is not just our personal feelings or our perspective, but we're sharing our agenda, things that we want to see happen. We're sharing our will, if you want to put it in those kinds of words. And one of the most basic ideas that we need to understand about communication is the difference between communication and coercion. The word communicate literally comes from a root word, a Latin word, which means to go with. We get the word community. We get the word conversation. We get the word communion in a Christian context. We all know what communion is. It's celebrating, you know, the Lord's Supper, so to speak. It's communing with someone else. And what that act is, it's an act of going with somebody. Whereas coercion, on the other hand, is the act of forcing somebody to go where you want them to go. And unfortunately, a lot of our communication falls into the category of trying to force people to go where we want them to go instead of being able to develop a relationship of trust and the communication skills that allow us to walk together, so to speak, in the direction that we want to go. And of course, the more forcefully that we feel something, the greater the energy that we have around what we feel, the greater the tendency we have, and it certainly has been true of me and probably all of you, the more tendency we have to try and force people to go where we want them to go instead of to be able to lead them or draw them where we want to go. And that's a critical, critical distinction. And communication begins with not only a commitment to go with somebody and not coerce them in any way, but it begins with the recognition that what we want in all our communication is the highest level of intimacy that we can have in that communication. And again, let me make a distinctive that all of you would be aware of, even though you may not have heard the particular terms before. It's the distinctive between our outer conversation, that is, what I say to you, and my inner conversation, which is what I may be saying about you on the inside that you don't hear. And when we talk about intimacy, what we are talking about is a relationship where there is enough trust in the relationship where I am free. As a matter of fact, I'm not only willing but desirous to share my inner conversation with you so that you know what I'm really thinking rather than just what I want to tell you. And I'm sure that you recognize in all our conversations, and there are many different levels of relationship, and we'll be talking somewhat about the different levels of relationship. But an intimate relationship is one where we are both willing to risk sharing our inner conversation with one another because we've developed a measure of trust. I'm sure that all of you, and Russ, you know, you've got your own business, and Lakita and others that will be joining us in this series are businessmen and women. You're aware that they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars every year globally to increase the communication skills in business because business is about communication. It's probably more about communication even than the product that is sold, because you can have the greatest product in the world, but if you're not able to communicate clearly in order to produce quality in the product, let alone sell the product, communicate the value of the product, it really doesn't matter how good the product is. And obviously that's true in our interpersonal relationships. It's the quality of our relationship is directly related to the level of intimacy that is in that relationship. Now, what we're going to be looking at here in this series is we're going to be talking about what are the skills required to produce that level of intimacy. I want to say, based on, again, over 30 years of marriage counseling, that there's millions of people who have divorced and are going to divorce who still love each other very, very deeply. Love is not enough. Love is a critical ingredient to a relationship. But love by itself is not enough to sustain a relationship or take it into levels of intimacy that will make that love grow. We need skills. We see this in the arts. You've got people who are incredibly talented in the arts or athletics or, you know, any skill. Raw skill will only take you so far. You need coaching. You need training. You need to understand the principles that are involved in what it is that you're trying to achieve. And yet, we live in la-la land thinking that somehow all of us, simply out of either natural intelligence or experience, that we will be able to develop naturally the communication skills that will give us the level of relationships that we want. But that's not true. It is like any other facet of life. There has to be a training and a knowledge involved in order to go to levels of real expertise and levels of real effectiveness. Now, one of the things that I want to say, and again, I know this is obvious to all of us, is we've got to ask ourselves the question, why are relationships not only so focused in terms of people's attention right now, but why do we have the number of divorces, the number of separations, why do we have the number of relational breakdowns that we see in the world around us? And the answers are really fairly simple. Most of us, in fact, virtually all of us, learn our communication skills from our parents. So if our parents don't have strong communication skills, and if they're not modeling those communication skills, there is no way in the world, unless we're talking about pure chance, that we are going to be able to communicate at a level which is significantly different than what we were initially trained with our parents. And here in the Western world, the United States, you're aware that the divorce rate is somewhere around 50%, maybe in the mid-40s. Jan and I, of course, as you know, have three adult children at this point. But when they were going to school, it was a phenomena that they would share that their parents were married to the same original partners. I mean, in grammar school, junior high school, it is a phenomena to find somebody whose parents have been together for 15, 20, 25 years or more. In this culture, it just doesn't happen. And it's not because people love each other less. It's because the communication skills are not there to facilitate the running, if you will, of that love from one side of the gulf of communication to the other side. Now, unfortunately, and again I'm addressing the school situation, either private or public, or churches, there are very few institutions in the world that really teach communication skills. I would give a lot of money, if I had a lot of money to give, to have learned, to have known the things that we're going to be sharing here in the next several hours together. I would to God that I had known these things 25 or 30 years ago. It would have made my life and our relationships, you know, Jan and I, as we practice these things, we talk about how different our relationship would have been having been together 35 years. Because in a lot of relationships, the damage that we do in the first 5 years lingers on for the next 20. And we have thought about, oh, how much we wish we'd understood what we're now practicing back then, because we wouldn't have to overcome the scar tissue that we're dealing with right now. And we're going to be talking about those kinds of things. If we are not clear on what we want out of our relationships, if we don't approach our relationships with a degree of strategy, then we're really leaving the depth of our relationship and the direction of our relationship to chance. It's like 7 come 11. You know, we're rolling them bones. And we live in this myth that, you know, if you care about somebody or if you're working with somebody or if you have to make something work, that demand, the pressure that you're in, will somehow force you into good communication. But the truth of the matter is, it really doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, the more intense situations tend to bring out the worst in people's communication, not the best. And we're going to be talking about that. So again, the level of expectation and the level of investment of time and energy and practice and risk, because relationships are about risk, our willingness to risk with one another. We have to talk about that up front, so to speak, in our relationships, especially if we want depth in them, and we need to have a plan, if you will, in terms of where we want this relationship to go and how we propose to get there. Now let me shift, if I can, and then I want to talk about what I call 5 general rules of life-giving relationships, and then I know you're going to have some questions. And again, we're going to encourage you to ask questions. I want to be clear, since this is a communication study, I want to be clear that I've communicated. And obviously, one of the ways that we know whether or not we've communicated is by feedback and exchange of ideas. So we're going to do that here in a few minutes. But I want to share 5 general rules, and I appreciate the fact that you're taking notes. When I teach professionally, so to speak, if I don't see people taking notes, I assume they either have photographic memories or they're going to listen to the tape about 50 times. Here's a point of communication. If you all could understand all the implications of what I'm sharing in first-time run-through, and I've been working on this stuff for years and years and years, something's wrong with this picture, because I've been working hard. I've been working diligently, because communication means so much to me, because I understand that the limitation of my ability to love and learn and relate and communicate my internal reality and discover other people's internal reality is really based on the bridge of communication skills. I mean, this is not some minor issue we're talking about here. We're talking about something that is so absolutely essential to community, to the formation of a nation, to the functioning of a company, let alone to the life that goes on between a parent and children, or husbands and wives, or any kind of relationship, you know, football team, to take your pick. We're talking about something that is absolutely vital to the depth of our lives. So let me talk about these five principles which life-giving relationships require, I believe, in order to really function. The first one, I've already mentioned here a moment ago, is we need to attempt to define our common goals for our relationships, and we need to keep those goals current. We need to define our common goals, and we need to keep those goals current. That is, we need to keep the relationship alive and growing, and we need to talk about the relationship. Now, let me go into a male-female distinctive, and I know all of us are aware of this. Women tend to be a whole lot more relational than men. Men tend, I know these are generalizations, but there's truth in them. Men tend to be very goal-oriented. Men tend not to think about the process. They tend to think about the end result. Whereas women, as all you ladies will affirm, women believe that the end result is highlighted, or the meaning of the end result is the journey itself. That the journey is every bit as important as where the thing is going to go. And I know you're laughing, and we can all think about different connotations that we won't go into here. But relationally, we need to have what I could call here a more feminine approach, or a more enlightened approach, may I say, to the males of the world, a more enlightened approach about the nature of relationships, and that is that relationships need to be discussed, they need to be worked on, and they need to be strategized. And you're going to see that very soon as we get in further into this discussion about the need to strategize the language that we use with each other. We need to strategize the rules of engagement, the way that we're going to honor one another. We need to have laid out plans, guidelines that will serve us, especially as we get into intensity and our feelings become intense relative to what it is that we're going to talk about. What you practice is what you do in the game. I have an athletic background, and numbers of you do. You're aware that in the game, you're going to tend to do what you practice. So we need to practice building our relationships. So the first point is our relationships need to have defined goals, and we need to keep those goals current and growing. The second point that I want to make is we need to have defined rules of mutual honor, because relationships are built on respect and honor of one another. And we need to honor each other in our attitudes and in our language. Now, the first point is dealing with goals and expectations in the relationship. And the second point is dealing with the promoting of respect. How do we respect one another? And obviously, when we get into intense communication where we have differences of opinion and we may be hitting strongholds in one another, we're going to talk about strongholds. When we hit intense communication, that communication is going to destroy our ability to really relate to each other if we don't put rules and guardrails around how we communicate when we are in a point of intensity or a point of intense disagreement. And we have to have thought about and planned, how are we going to get through the whitewater? How are we going to get through the turbulence of where we disagree with each other before we get there, and not just leave it to chance? Because emotions tend to take us way beyond where we sometimes want to go. So we need to have defined the rules of mutual honor in our attitudes and in our language. And Jan, of course, teaches on child raising, and that's one of the things that we homeschool the kids. Jan homeschooled them, obviously, much more than I did because of my travel. But, you know, we talked a lot about the attitudes that were in our kids. Not just what they said, but their attitudes. The third rule that we want to look at is we need to be committed to be self-revealing. We need to be committed to being transparent and self-revealing with each other in terms of our hurts, in terms of dissent. Where do we differ from one another? Where do we disagree? And in terms of our awareness of potential threats to the relationship. What are we experiencing? What do we see? Are there external situations or people that we see present a threat to our relationship? And this third principle has to do with transparency and honesty. Because real, deep, flowing, life-giving relationships are built on transparency and honesty. Now, Russ, you were in a situation, you may not know this, where we were doing a meeting for some folks connected with our ministry and what we do in terms of the public dimension of teaching. And I was sharing on some of these principles, and there was a very high up business owner of a large company that I think most of you and much of the public would know the company and might know the person I'm talking about. But as I got into the whole nature of communication and talked about the need to reveal our inner conversation, it was so threatening to this individual that it actually caused them to withdraw from some other key relationships, because no one, I don't think, had ever challenged this individual on the fact that an honest relationship required the sharing of the inner conversation. And because, you know, I know you and I know the level of communication that you operate on, and this may seem like a very common idea to you, I want to reinforce in you the reality that the level of communication that we may require from one another in terms of sharing in our conversation is not common out there in the world at all. And that's one of the great tragedies of relationships and the breakdown in relationships is people are afraid to share their inner conversation because that level of vulnerability requires a risk. And there has not been enough money put in the bank, so to speak. There has not been enough deposits in the relationship to warrant the trust to be transparent. And we're going to talk about that. Number four, we must be committed to resolve our conflicts successfully and regularly. We have to be committed to resolve our conflicts successfully and regularly. Now, the nature of all relationships is conflict. It's impossible to have a life-giving relationship without conflict. You know, it's almost like a scientific definition of, you know, when is something alive? Something is alive when there's metabolic change. Something is dead, it's inert, when there's no change. And because as living beings, we're constantly changing and constantly interrelating with our environment and one another, we are going to be getting different sensations, different perceptions of reality, and let alone our internal character and personality and the differences of our engiftments. You know, you put a prophet and a pastor in a telephone booth, you're going to have conflict. Now, you put a strong male and a strong female in a telephone booth, and you're going to have conflict. I mean, our engiftments, let alone our sexuality, let alone our life experiences. And we've got the whole racial issue, too, and all the breakdowns of ethnicity. And, you know, we can go into all that. And we'll touch some of it. But the nature of relationship is conflict. Anybody that thinks that a healthy relationship has no conflict couldn't be more wrong. Because if there is no conflict, I would assert that there's very little reality in terms of what is really being shared about what's being experienced in life. So we have to be committed to not do away with conflict, but to become trained and skilled in the way that we resolve our conflict, and we have to be committed to resolve it regularly. That means, Jan and I, one of our rules is, biblical rule, let not the sun go down on your wrath. If there's a conflict that we see, we want to make sure that we're dealing with it. We're not stuffing it, putting it under the rug, and, you know, letting it grow, because then you get an explosion down the road. And what could have been healed as a small cut has now moved into, you know, lung cancer. So we've got to be committed to regular resolution of conflict. Lastly, we need to be committed to build what I call a bridge of trust. Now, you will see from this diagram, and I don't know that I even need to get up, I'm just pointing to it, that my artistic skill level stops somewhere at about a third grade level. It is interesting how we have different gifts, and I certainly don't have any artistic gift in me in that sense. Although I will take note of the fact that Jan and I had a flower shop for 2 years, actually more, was like almost five, and I refer to that as my Ferdinand the Bull period, but I digress. But you can see from the level of my artistry there that it's not too good, but believe it or not, those stick figures are walking hand in hand across a gulf. That gulf is what separates us as human beings. It's the challenges of life, and that is a bridge. The trestles you can see there as the lines of it, the cross lines that are holding up that bridge, and I call that the bridge of trust. And our relationships are built upon the bridge of trust. And the question you see in my inept handwriting up there is, how much weight can that bridge carry? What is the weight load capacity? When you drive across a bridge anywhere in the world, mostly you're going to see a tonnage limit as to what that bridge can carry. And every relationship has a load limit. Now, the more intimate the relationship, the greater the capacity to carry intimate, meaningful, deep communication. And we're going to be talking a lot about how to build that bridge of trust so that the levels of communication, the levels of risk, the willingness to risk, and the trust that we have of one another, that we have systematically and carefully built that bridge together. And we understand, and again, I'm speaking here from a Christian point of view, but it applies to everybody, Christian or not, is that every relationship has a destiny. Relationships have design. I want that to sink in. We have a statement, God don't make no junk. A being that is powerful enough to create the complexity that has been created does everything by strategic design. And our relationships have strategic design in them. Now, in the greater cosmic scheme of things, because God is sovereign, He can bring about any result that He wants to bring about. My opinion is He lets some things go unless He chooses to intervene. And when He chooses to intervene, we're not going to overcome that. But there are things that go wrong, so to speak, because there is a degree of free interplay in this cosmic scheme of things. Relationships are very, very important to me. I've had some relationships for many, many years that are growing in their life-giving capacities. I've had other relationships that broken or are not as healthy as they should be. Definitely because the communication skills on one side or both sides broke down. But the point is, I want to make sure that my relationships fulfill their God-given destiny. And that destiny runs across the bridge of trust. And the greater the level of intimacy and the greater the level of trust, the greater capacity to bring change to the world. I want to say this as we close, again, from a Christian point of view. This is how deep this stuff is to me. I want to share it with you. If we're talking about salvation, we're not just talking about going to a place, a paradise, a great place to live. We're talking about being invited into the level of conversation that God experiences within Himself. And that's heavy. God proceeds out of a community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible begins with, "Let us make man." Ultimately, what you and I have been invited into in God is a level of communication which, to some degree, mirrors the communication that God has within Himself. And that kind of communication has the ability to create a universe, a multiverse, a cosmos. It has the ability to communicate a depth of life that is so rich that no experience can transcend the richness of that communion. And that's what Let's Talk's about. Our goal is for each one of us to come to the deepest level of communication that is possible for us with those that we interface with. And what a thrill it is, seriously, to be here with you and be sharing this stuff, these truths, these principles, because they work. And they're going to release you and those that you share them with and live them out with to new levels of intimacy and new levels of creativity as a result. And I'm excited about that. Let's do some questions. I want to get some feedback and hear from you. What have you heard me say? And how do I clean up whatever messes I've created with my words?
Dennis, I appreciate what you're sharing on communication. Katie and I came into our marriage 30-plus years ago with no skills to communicate, unbeknownst to me. And if it wasn't for coaching and training and somebody caring for us, I'm not sure where we would be today. So I appreciate what you're talking about, the need for coaching and training. My question is, the hardest person I have to hear from when it comes to critiquing me or saying things about me personally is my wife. It would be easier for a stranger to tell me I'd done something wrong or misspoken to somebody than for Katie to tell me. Could you possibly comment on why that's so hard for husbands and wives relative to the trust issue to begin to trust each other and develop that sense of communication?
Yeah, Russ, that's a great question. I'm sure the people who are sharing this series with us have thought about that. First of all, let me say that your Katie's relationship would be the rule, not the exception. Again, the communication skills that we've inherited from our parents or grandparents, it goes down through a long line of communication dysfunction or function. It seems to be decreasing. It certainly has decreased, I would say, in the last 50 years, if divorce rates are indicative of the communication skills. The reason is really very simple, and that is because if somebody is close enough to help us, and again, the more intimate the relationship, the greater the possibility of being helped by somebody, they have a much greater ability to hurt us as well. It's relatively easy, and that's the whole encounter group, if I can put quotes around that. Jan and I came out of Berkeley in the 60s and the rise of the encounter group methodology. That's why the whole encounter group thing focuses on that principle, is we can often hear things from strangers that we can't hear from somebody else. And the reason is really very simple, is because when I'm done with a stranger, I walk away and they're not involved in my life anymore. But when Katie says something to you that hurts you or you don't want to hear, or vice versa, you're going to wake up with one another tomorrow morning. And it's the ongoing nature of the relationship that makes the threat and therefore the pain, or conversely the blessing, all the greater. But let me say one other thing that is obvious, and I know, you know, again, the folks that are sharing our time here together with us have already thought of numbers of them, which is all the Proverbs that talk about not sharing your whole mind, or fool utters his whole mind, and, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But the fact is that our relationships have different levels of intimacy. And I'm not talking about how we relate to somebody that we don't know that well, although obviously we need to have respect and honor for everybody. But I'm talking about communication skills where the trust levels warrant, they deserve, the relationship deserves the sharing of our inner conversation with the risk of the pain that you brought up, Russ. So again, our communication skills are going to be in relation to the depth of the relationship in question. Theon, you had a question or a comment?
Yes, I really appreciate the series that you're doing right now as well. And you talked about five techniques for developing relationships, and mm-hmm. within one of the techniques you talked about strategizing. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know, how do you start developing a relationship by strategizing without confusing manipulation within that?
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't let everybody into your internal conversation. And at what point do you decide, I'm going to let this person hear a little bit more about what's going on internally?
What a great question. And may I, hoping not to sound like a sexist, say that would come from women. That's a great question. Men don't think like that. Really, let me answer Lakita's comment, the second part first. The first thing that we need to understand is to ask ourselves the question, how much do we value relationships? Are people just objects that come in and out of our life? That's a pretty heavy question. Or are people, do we care enough about people, and do we really want to invest in people? And do we want people to invest in us? Because that's the foundation of any relationship, is a mutual investment. Now, just answer that question out of my own life, because what I do is my real answer, not what I say to you or for the benefit of somebody else. Is when I meet somebody, if I'm on my game, I'm evaluating and I'm praying, you know, me being who I am, I'm praying, Lord, what is the nature of this relationship? Is there something here that you want to build on? And if so, let me see it. Now, I may not say that to the person, but that's my internal conversation. And then based on the frequency of how often I would see that person, or whatever it is that I would internally feel about the potential value, mutual value of this relationship, somewhere down the line, I'm going to make my inner conversation available to the other party and say, you know, it feels like there's something going on here in this relationship. Can you see that, you know, we might be able to build something together? We might be able to do something together. We might, you know, there's some purpose for this. Do you sense a purpose? That would be my entrance, so to speak, to the beginning of trying to get a mutual sharing or a mutual revelation or a mutual commitment as to how they perceive the relationship. Because, Theon, your point is well taken. I can't scheme, so to speak, on my own about the nature of the relationship. If it's going to have depth, it has to be something between both of us. It has to have mutuality. We need to be involved because we're trying to build a bridge from me to you and you to me.
A line, like fishing. If they bite, they bite, and if they don't.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And, again, there has to be enough transparency that I'm sharing with you, you know, I'm sensing there's something here in the relationship. What are you sensing? And if you shut me down, then I'll probably adjust and say, well, okay, then my relationship, at least at this point in time with you, is probably not going to be moving towards that intimacy until you communicate with me that you sense that there's something that you want to build on here as well. But the point is, on our long-term relationships, that is, relationships where we have already made some kind of a commitment or a statement that we believe the relationship has purpose and destiny and value, then it's important when we get into hassles with each other or we feel like we're not communicating, then we need to talk and say, what do we need to do? Because we're stuck here. I can't seem to share what I want to share, and I'm not hearing feedback from you that you're hearing my heart, or I can tell that you think that I'm not hearing your heart. What are we going to do to build this relationship strategically in a way that it produces what we both mutually want? And that is the beginning of a mature relationship and the beginning of an intimate relationship, is both parties have agreed they see something there and they want to bring change. And I'm trusting, I'm hoping that, you know, this is being of help to you who are, you know, in a wonderful way, privileged to sit into this conversation with us here in this living room. And if there's any way that we can help you, we got a lot of materials, books, workbooks, study guides that will lead you into the ability to take these tapes and other materials to bring real change to your relationships, whether it's parent, child, husband, wife, business, or whatever. Log on to our website. We want to help you. This is not about money. This is not about that kind of stuff at all. This is about changing lives and making a difference and producing intimacy in relationships so that destiny can be carried in those relationships.
This is a copyrighted program of Rebuild and Dominion Enterprises. Unauthorized duplication is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California, 95405.